Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome, everybody, to Morning Magazine, part two for this October 28th, 2022. You have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. I am joined by our friends from the Arts Council. We have Sally Kistner, Executive Director at the Arts Council. Good morning, Sally.
Good morning, James.
Good to see you.
You too.
We want to welcome in our good friend, Eric Britenacher, with us as well from the Performing Arts Center. Eric, always good to see you, sir.
Hi, thanks a lot.
That great beard of yours. It's always good to see that. And joining us on the phone, Bill Blagg. Bill, good morning. Okay, let's try. Let's see here. Bill Blagg joining us on the phone. Bill, are you there?
I'm here, James. How are you?
Hey, there you are, Bill. Hey, thanks so much for joining us. It's good to hear you, sir. How are you doing?
My pleasure. Doing awesome. Appreciate you having me on.
I'm sitting here with Sally and Eric, and we're just about to get into the show that you're bringing to our neck of the woods here. Can't thank you enough for it. Bill, first up, where are you calling us from?
I'm calling you from beautiful Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin.
Nice, nice. All right. In state already. Very good to hear.
In state already.
Bill, I like a lot of kids, grew up enjoying magicians and magic acts and things like that. And so when I first saw the Arts Council lineup this year and I see, oh, we're going to have a great magician in here. And this Bill Blagg, that sounds familiar to me. Why does that sound familiar to me? And I do a little digging, Bill. And yeah, Bill's dang good at what he does. He's amazing. And he's been doing this a very long time. I was blown away by your performance, sir. I haven't seen anybody really do what you do. I've seen a lot of magicians over the years. I haven't seen somebody who is able, maybe like an Amazing Jonathan or somebody like that, that has such charisma on stage, along with being a very talented magician. I mean, people like that I can think of a little, but I don't think there's anybody like you out there doing this, Bill. And you've been doing this a long time. Before I blow your head up, your ego up too big, I do want to let the audience know a little bit about you, Bill. Your story is very interesting. Can you tell us a little bit about how you got into magic and your early career?
Absolutely. First, I appreciate those comments and the your feedback regarding our performance. And our main thing is from the jump is I always just wanted to be authentic and be true to who I am. Like I live in Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin. I'm from the Midwest, born and raised, and that's the same person I am on stage as I am off stage. And I always felt it was important not to have some type of persona or play some character. That was just never what I wanted to do. I got started early on. I got a magic set from my grandparents when I was about 6 years old. And first trick I learned in there was how to make a quarter disappear. And I remember showing it to my dad in the living room at the family Christmas. And I legitimately fooled him. He was like, how did you do that? And 2 seconds later, I was upside down by my ankles and all the quarters were falling out from my shirt. And I was showing everybody else. it sounded like one of those slot machines going off in the living room. But then after that, I ended up developing a correspondence with my great-grandfather out of California. And he and I would write each other letters back and forth. And he was an amateur magician. And I would share with him the different magic tricks that I was working on and describe the shows. And then for my 10th birthday, he sent me 3 books that he had since 1942 called the Harlan Tarbell Course in Magic. They were volumes 1, 2, and 3, the additional print. Original print on the first edition. And he sent those 3 books to me for my birthday. And literally from the moment I received those, they literally became what I would consider the foundation for my magic training and paved the way. They weren't just books that talked about how to do tricks. They also talked about how to stage shows and how to do pattern, how to routine magic and what performing actually meant and the audience's point of view. And having that type of guidance, I guess, so early on, it really keyed me into focusing beyond just doing the magic tricks themselves.
Mm-hmm. Now, Bill, you mentioned early on your early days, and you had some really big things happen early on in your career. In fact, I'd like to take us back to 1998 for a second, and all of our clothes just changed. That was weird. But you're really good at magic. Bill can do this stuff even over the phone. That's crazy.
I tell you what, I like those tight rolled pants that you
got. Yeah, you see that? You see that? Yeah,
pretty good. I'm over here in some purple and I got some purple and yellow hammer pants that also just showed up. I'm not sure what's going on here.
You are good. You're so good that you did something at a young age that no other magician had done. And I'd like to let the audience know about the adult stage competition you entered in the Abbott Magic Get-Together in Colon, Michigan.
That's right. Most people don't know, but Colon, Michigan is actually the magic capital of the world. It's a little small town in Michigan that for over 85 years has been hosting what is known as the Abbott Magic Get-Together. Most notable that put the city on the map, or the town, I should call it. I'm sure there's a bank and maybe a couple restaurants, and you're probably outside of town by that point. It was the famous Blackstone family of magic. That's where they called home. Hmm. So Harry Blackstone Sr. And Jr., they all lived there, and that's where the famous traveling Blackstone magic show was based out of. Hmm. It was based out of Colon, Michigan, and Abbott Magic was the largest manufacturing company of magic apparatus in the world at the time.
Hmm.
So it would make sense that the largest touring show, which was Blackstone's, would also be based out of the area that produces all the equipment.
Yeah.
And so for 85 plus years, they've been hosting this thing. And magicians, literally, you'll watch this town of, I don't know, maybe there's 1,800 people in it, will swell and grow to thousands and thousands during what they call Magic Week. And they have the adult stage competition. You have to be 18 years of age or older. They get tons of people that apply for this, and they only accept 10 acts to perform. So they're juried ahead of time. They go through and look at everything and then make their selection of which 10 are going to perform. And I was going to do it in 97. I chickened out. I still have the application that I filled out to attend. And I didn't do it. And then I decided in 98 I was going to go for it. So it's good I didn't do it in 97. I would have been in the junior competition.
Mm.
So in 98, I had just turned 18. I sent it in, and I was one of the 10 people selected. And I remember being backstage at that event, seeing some of the magicians that I had seen on TV and at live shows that I'd been to backstage, getting ready to compete along with me. I remember looking at my dad. I'm like, I'm dead. I want to go home. And I brought a pocket handkerchief, a boombox, which most people don't know today, and a pair of sunglasses, and went on stage and did my 3.5-minute routine. And turns out I won, and I became the youngest person to ever win the contest because I had just freshly turned 18 ahead of time. So,
man, is that impressive?
That's my claim to fame.
I think that's a little deeper than you might think, sir. But that's awesome. Again, we're speaking again with Bill Blagg, and he's going to be coming to our town here next month to bring the magic of Bill Blagg. And I don't want to keep you too long, Bill. I know you got a lot going on, but I appreciate everything you've already shared with us. And I mentioned before that I'm a big fan of magic. I as a young kid, I grew up idolizing. I wouldn't say idolizing, but really looking up to and being very influenced by Harry Houdini. To this day, I still think that easily one of the greatest top 10 entertainers of all time is Harry Houdini. I don't think that will ever change. You think about what Harry was able to do at the time in our world when he was. There was no social media. There wasn't none of these things, but he was world famous. It meant something back then to be world famous, a lot different than what it means nowadays. And the showmanship that Harry had, that he brought to magic, I've often heard many magicians talk about he's kind of the architect of that. You are very similar in some ways, Bill, because you pride yourself on doing new stuff, never before seen stuff. Is that correct?
Absolutely. We're always working on new material. And just for me, it's giving the audience a different experience than, I'm going to call it, the stereotypical magic show. And I think a lot of people, when they hear magic show, they think of the magician that comes to their house for their children's birthday parties. Or, as you mentioned, Harry Houdini, David Copperfield, Chris Angel. Otherwise, that
outside of that, they always just think of the magician that gets on stage and the lady that dances around and jumps in the box. And then here comes the swords or the blades and that type of thing. And I'm always fascinated when people are like, do you have an assistant in the show? Or do you have a girl that you use in the show? And I'm like, no. And like, well, what kind of magic do you do that? It's always interesting, man. So it challenges us in a different way, because in the magic world, you can go to these different illusion builders, and if you watch the TV shows and go watch the live shows, as an audience, if you're exposed to that much magic, you're going to see a lot of the same things and a lot of people doing the same type of magic. And when you're doing the magic to yourself, it's a much different scenario. So you have to create and develop illusions that happen to you as the performer. And that's it's more unique on that side of it. So we're always pushing ourselves to develop new things and bring new things to the stage for the audience to thrill them and give them a different experience than they're typically used to. And I'm real excited. We have a new piece in the show right now, which we're actually bringing to the show in Wisconsin Rapids, where it allows everyone in the audience to participate at the same exact time from the comfort of their seat, and the magic happens to them all at the same exact moment. And it's really unique, and I love it. I love when that moment hits, and you just see it's I call it like the like trickle effect, because often you'll see them like, what? And they look at their neighbor, and they look at the person behind, they're like, what? What? Yeah, No. So that's it's a fun moment for sure.
That sounds, I mean, that alone sounds like a worth showing up for, Bill. That sounds amazing. Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
I mean, it's going to be a great time. We got a bunch of original magic. It's family friendly. So it's a show for the whole entire family. And it's got great visual magic, which everybody's going to enjoy. But we take it a step further. It combines all the elements of a true theatrical Broadway production. So from the scenic elements of the stage set to the lighting, the music, the narrative and the story that's told throughout the show, like all these elements combine to create a very unique experience as opposed to just going and watching somebody do magic tricks.
Bill, I cannot thank you enough for the time. Wonderful to meet you. I hope we have a chance to talk again, sir, because this was a fun conversation. We're going to welcome you to this area. We're going to fill up the Performing Arts Center for you, give you a really good crowd. Looking forward to this show.
We're looking forward to having a great time, and I know we're in 1998 right now, so I'm going to try to fast forward back to 2022, because I don't know what to do with all this hair on the top of my head right
Thank
now.
You, Bill. Thank you so much. Yeah, I don't have enough hairspray to keep my hair up anymore. I don't have that. Good talking with you, sir. You have a great day.
I appreciate it. We look forward to it. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you. Oh, that was great. Big shout out to Bill Blagg for joining us there. That was a lot of fun, you guys. That's just a phone conversation. Imagine what he's like on stage and everything. His chemistry, his charisma on stage is palpable. Like you cannot help but get him into it and enjoy it and everything. It's going to be a really fun show, Sally. When it came to setting this up, how was that working with Bill and his people, and how quickly did that come about? Because it seems like really good people to work with.
Absolutely, and I actually started with Bill, not his agent. I had met him back in 2019 at an Arts Midwest conference and spent some time talking to him and also learning a little bit about the outreach opportunities that he had. And we grabbed that and ran with it. And we will be presenting 6 different outreaches to students in grades 1 through 8 in the Tri-City area.
Wow.
So there will be almost 4,000 students there over the course of 3 days.
That's amazing. I almost wish we could end the interview right there and just drop the mic on that. That is such an awesome thing. I know, talking with both of you on air, off air, how much it means to you to have these acts come to our area and bring this culture to our community. But maybe even more than that is these kids getting a chance to interact with them and having these moments with them, and how much that can mean to, certainly to all you guys, to us, to our community. But I mean, I can't even put into words what it must mean to these kids, these opportunities that they have.
Right. And this outreach is called The Science of Magic. So he digs into, you know, the science behind the magic. Or the illusions.
Bill really gives you, I don't want to say a stripped down magic show, but a magic show that's like, you know, you, especially like he was talking about. We've all seen magic acts, you know, from like the 80s, 90s, that kind of thing. A lot of pyrotechnics and a lot of those kind of things. Big stage show. A lot of pomp and circumstance and everything. And not to say that Bill doesn't have some of that, but it's so much more a focus on what he's doing, his interactions with the audience. It's a very organic show. Like, I watched at least about four or five different clips of his because I went down a rabbit hole on this guy. And every one of them is a very unique and tailor-made show. It's very, you know, centered on, well, this crowd is going to be different than the crowd I was at last night or that kind of thing. That reminds me of stand-up comedians. I don't know magicians that do that. I don't know many performers that do that. I found that very unique and really adds to the performance for the audience. They feel like they're getting a tailor-made show because they are. Right. It's pretty cool. I don't know many people that do that, let alone magicians that do that. I also don't think that there's a whole lot of people that you see in this field that are doing something unique and different. Bill touched on that as well. The idea of, hey, we've all seen the lady cut in the box before. We've seen the, you know, the rabbit out of the hat, that kind of thing. But Bill is not only doing these things differently and doing different, you know, magic, but going back to what Sally was just saying, giving you a bit of the science behind these things and really breaking it down for the kids when he does those things. This is beneficial to, and it's fun to the whole family. When it comes to a show like this, Eric, a magician, is there anything different you guys have to do behind the scenes or setting up the stage for him? Is it any different than a music act or pretty similar?
Well, this particular show, they travel with a box truck with about 40 rogue cases in it. So that's a good number of rogue cases.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not quite a semi-load, but you know, a box truck, a 26-foot box truck is pretty big. So, you know, they have LED walls and different lighting elements and some stage backdrop. So, like you said, you know, they're trying to incorporate some theatrical elements into this as well. So, as you say, I mean, yeah, we're not doing pyrotechnics, but there is going to be, you know, some flash,
know,
and some visual interest with regard to their stage presentation. And so that's going to be a lot of fun to set up. You know, we're going to be loading a bunch of equipment onto our line sets, which are the battens that hang, or the pipes that hang over the top of the stage. And so, you know, a lot of these elements need to be flown. It's a good experience for our kids, you know, our students to see this and be a part of it. And so all around, you know, it's just a great experience. You know, we talk about the outreaches and reaching 4,000 kids. Some of that stuff isn't really measurable in the short term. You know, it's after years and years, you know, down the line of, you know, getting this exposure of getting into the theater, seeing, you know, a cross between a theatrical presentation and science and magic. It's just a really profound experience, I think, and you can't really, you know, you can't quantify the results in what it means today. It's, you know, 5-10 years down the line and what it might spark in their interest in either science or magic or, you know, performing arts or, you know, anything. And now being off of the pandemic and everybody getting kind of back to normal, these are the experiences that I think are really going to stick in the minds and memories of the young kids who are able to see this. And, you know, to reach grades 1 through 8, 4,000 kids within our area is just incredible.
As always, well said, Eric. And I think that the thing that you were touching on there that is so key to this, too, is we have no idea how much this can impact them or where it could take them or what it could spark in them. And let's say they don't go into science or magic or something else. They're going to go into whatever field they do with a hunger of curiosity, a reward of curiosity, where they are able to experience things at a young age that gets their mind going, that gets it growing. I mean, they're still sponges at that age. And the more they can take in, the more that the options they see they have, the more that they see of the world. And honestly, the more that they are able to take a confidence in life and build confidence in life. And so much of our job as adults, whether you're parents or not, is building these kids up in a solid way. I'm not talking about everybody gets a trophy day. I mean with treating them that way. Eric, when you're working with these kids, I imagine it's not, hanging over them and hovering over them every 5 seconds and, oh, I'll do it or whatever. I imagine you're encouraging them. You're helping them learn these things. They get to be around an adult and do adult-like things. That stuff builds their confidence. It builds their curiosity. And there's so many other layers to this that, again, we can't experience because we're old. And we don't, you know, half of this stuff we don't remember when we were little and everything. I shouldn't speak for you, Eric. You look very young. But I am, at least. I'll speak for myself. It's such a wonderful gift to be able to give to the community, to these kids. Let's go over the details of the event itself, Sally, and let people know how they can get tickets.
Absolutely. 7:30 p.m. Thursday, November 10th, is the performance at the Performing Arts Center. You can obtain tickets, which are $30 for adults and $10 for students, through the Arts Council. Either call us at 715-424-2787. Stop by and see us at 1040 8th Street South, Suite 101 in Wisconsin Rapids. That's Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. Or you can order anytime online at savorthearts.org. And I would like to encourage, if you are a parent or a grandparent of a first through eighth grader in the area, why don't you surprise them and buy tickets for the November 10th show? Because it's different from the outreach that they're going to see. And wouldn't that be cool to just surprise them with it and, you know, come and let them see what the show is like? It's an 80-minute show straight through, so if you're concerned about them getting to bed on time, it's not going to be that long.
And you're, especially if you're a grandparent doing it, you can get away with that. You can get away with that. You don't have to put the kids to bed. You can get away with that. That is a great idea. Really good idea. I like that, especially this time of year. And what a great gift to be able to give. If you don't mind, guys, I'd like to just touch on some of the upcoming events coming to the Performing Arts Center and just touch on some of these a little bit and give people a bit of a preview of what's coming up, because it's just such an awesome season you guys have put together. I mean, Sally, the work you did on this one, it's above and beyond, honestly. This in December, we have Rocky Mountain Christmas with Ted Vigil. That is going to be a really fun one. You guys do a great job of the seasonal acts. This is really a great one to bring to the area. I just touched on it. I didn't get to go too deep into this, but I believe it's got a bit of a John Denver experience to it.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And tickets are selling fast on that one, so if you plan on going, you better jump online and get them.
Yeah. Make sure to. Yeah. Sally doesn't say that unless you definitely want to get those tickets, everybody. February, one that I'm really looking forward to, Wisconsin Brass Quintet. What can we expect with this show?
This is actually the faculty from the Mead-Witter School of Music who will be coming. They'll also be doing an outreach with band students as well. Mm. So if anybody has an interest in the outreach, come to that and then come to the show at night.
In March, Take 3 is going to be hitting this stage, coming to this area. I'm not going to be able to do that interview. I'm going to be way too much of a fanboy. There's no way I'm going to be able to talk to any of those people and be able to keep any journalistic integrity or anything like that. I'm a huge fan of this band. I'm very excited about them coming to the area. They take string instruments to a different level and chemistry to a different level. I think a lot of us are used to harmonizing when it comes to vocals. You know, your Allman Brothers, things like that, Alice in Chains for some of us younger people. I don't think you hear it very often with string instruments. And when it's done really, really well, there's just nothing like it. I can't think of any act that I can compare these ladies to. I can't think of one comp I could have that could say to you, oh, they're a little like this, they're a little like that. I can only encourage you to go into your search bar. If you haven't heard of them before, Take 3 and enjoy. You're welcome, because you're going to enjoy.
Very high energy.
Very much. And while they play some, you know, traditional stuff, they do a fun job of taking, you know, modern hits and really putting a their own spin to them, their own style to them.
Right.
It's part of how I got interested in them or heard about them was, I think it was Smells Like Teen Spirit or something they did. And I'm like, oh, what is this? And I check it out. And I was immediately like, okay, I'm going to be a fan of these people for the rest of my life. They're amazing. It's one thing to play a song. It's another to kind of to bring it almost a different life to it, especially when it comes to music, where it's so, well, they're playing the same notes that Nirvana played. What's the difference? It's the feel that they put into these things. I think too, it comes down to the amount of time they've been playing together. I think that adds to it too. But this is such a fun act, and this is again coming up in March. March 9th, right?
Yes, correct.
Anything that I didn't mention in my rambling fanboyism about
you
them?
You did great, James.
No journalistic integrity at all. One of our favorite acts locally, Chris Cruzy, he is going to be coming also in March 24th. Chris is going to be at the PAC. That's a fun one.
Definitely.
I know that many in our area have gotten to take in Chris's shows before, but I do want to encourage you, if you haven't gotten to do this before, there is no one show alike with Chris.
Right.
He's just very similar to what we're talking about with Bill and everything. Really likes to put a different, every show have a little bit of a different animal. And when he gets to play here in Rapids, it's definitely a different animal. He really loves playing here.
Plus, it's his full band, so...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, sometimes when he comes to this area, it's just him, so...
Yeah. That's nice, to be able to bring the whole act. Yep. That's going to be fun. Any of these performances that are coming up, Eric, that are... because every show, obviously, going to be bringing different things. You're going to have to do different things with this and everything. But is there any one of these that, like, you're a little bit like me, you're a bit of a fan on, and you're, like, just excited to look for? You just enjoy all these acts coming in?
You know, they all have their own flavor, and I love music in general, and so I don't think there's any one that I would put in front of the other. Mm. You know, it's kind of all business as usual, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think, you know, Chris Cruzy, he's a lot of fun, and, you know, I can really get into that, you know, type of music. And John Denver, certainly, you know, just the classic easily listening is really good. You know, and certainly with Brass Quintet and Take Three, you've got... the classical instrumentation, you know, the Wisconsin Brass Quintet. I've seen not that particular band, but other faculty from the Meadwitter School of Music when they first opened. They had a concert here at the PAC, and it was just, it was mind-blowing, mm-hmm. just the sound that comes out of these instruments and through these people's fingers, and, you know, whether it's, or, you know, through the woodwind instrument or whatever, the columns of air that are created are just unbelievable.
Yeah.
And so... they all have their flavor, and they're all worth looking forward to and getting your tickets sooner than later. So mm-hmm. We hope to see you all there, because it is an excellent season. It's very diverse and strikes a lot of different boxes for many different people. So
yeah, it's such a good way to put it, diverse. It really is. Sally, before we wrap up and tell people how they can get tickets for the upcoming show, I did just want to remind everybody, especially this time of year, that the Save of the Arts, they have gift cards. And I always want to make sure to mention that. It's such a great gift that you can give to somebody. You kind of touched on this a little bit earlier with the Bill show coming up. But
right.
Really, a gift card for any one of these shows or even future shows is a great idea.
And what we're doing right now is having gift cards that don't expire.
Nice.
Since
wow.
COVID, we've decided to do that, at least for a while anyway. So... one thing.
Another above. No, I'm not going to let you skate past that, Sally. Another
who
above,
does that?
Yes, exactly.
Right.
That's above and beyond. That is really, really cool. Like,
yeah.
Very big tip of the hat to the Arts Council. Nice work. That's awesome.
Thank you. Going back to Bill Blagg and the outreach, I do have to give a shout out. We've had some phenomenal support from people for the outreach. It's a lot of money. We're paying for transportation. Each session costs something.
Yeah.
So we have had the Meadwitter Foundation step forward with a discretionary grant, as well as Encourage with unrestricted grant funds, as well as some individual donors with donor-advised funds through Encourage. So I'd like to recognize the John and Judy Steele family, the Cum Family Fund, and also Earl and Vivian Hafes.
Excellent. I want to encourage people to get your tickets. You can go to savertheArts.com to find those. Sally, how else can they get them?
You can give us a call next week, 715-424-2787, or stop by and see me between 10 and 2:30, Monday through Thursday at 1040 8th Street South in Rapids.
Be listening next week to the morning show. Sally was nice enough to give us a pair of tickets for this show. We'll give them away next week. And cannot thank you both enough for everything you do in the community and hanging out with me. It's a lot of fun today. Thanks, you. You guys have a great weekend.
Thanks,
you too.
Listen, everybody, we got good stuff coming up for you, okay? Stick around. More coming up right here, 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR. We are locally grown radio.